Bhaktivalita, could you please tell us something about your first impressions of Srila Gurudev and first meetings?
Meetings. I first met Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj in Navadvip, West Bengal, India, where the Chaitanya Saraswat Mart is situated on the banks of the Ganga. It was 1992. I traveled from the US, stopping in London, visiting our devotees there, and landing just before Gaur Purnima, 1 month before Gaur Purnima. It was like February. And at that time, the big floods in Navadvip, the whole Navadvip, nine islands, were flooded. The Ganges rose, and our mat was underwater for some time, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, and the deities had been brought up on the second tier of the temple because they couldn't stay in their ground floor. And the moment I was entering into the mat, I was with Sripad Madhusudan Maharaj. He brought me from Calcutta to Navadvip. And at that moment, Radha, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, and Giridhari, and Shalagram Shila, Lakshmi Varaha, they were all being carried down the stairs from the upper tier of the mandir and being placed back on their altar because the flood waters receded. And then Gurudev was overseeing this, watching from the side of the temple, the deities being placed in their proper place, observing. And I saw him, and I saw a very grand but soft figure, very fatherly, warm, lovable figure standing there. And my heart felt, oh, this is my real father I'm seeing, eternal father. And knowing I've come all the way to see him and get connection to him, and feeling some inner approval from my heart. So I settled in and began getting to know my way around the mat. And the next morning, Srila Gurudev called for the newcomer to come and to meet him. I wanted to meet him. I asked, can I meet him? So I was called into his veranda the next morning. And very informal, very approachable mood, very homey mood, I felt entering into his veranda. And he said, come and sit. My name was Elizabeth, and he called me Queen Elizabeth with his Bengali accent, and first asked me straight away, what are my intentions? Do I plan to live exclusively in service life, or do I want to have a family, grihastha life? What is on my mind? What he wanted to figure that out right away. And I already knew right away. I want to live in the temple full time, exclusively, no family life. And he said, good. And he said, because if you give birth, you will have to take another birth. That's the karmic reaction of giving birth, according to the law of karma. In some cases, rare cases, may be different. If you give birth to a pure devotee, maybe not. But that's what he told me. That was our first conversation, first topic, my first lesson. So I stayed some time, really loved the mat, and I could feel. It was 1992, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj disappeared in 1988. But I could still feel his presence, like radiation, power there. I felt Srila Sridhar Maharaj's presence, his mood, his samadhi was there, his veranda's there. And when you go on his veranda, that's where I received my first and second initiations, on Srila Sridhar Maharaj's veranda. You could really feel his presence. Very noble, very powerful energy. And I was feeling like the honeybee outside the honey jar. I wanted in. I could see there's something really sweet inside Krishna consciousness, but I'm an outsider, and I'm looking in like a bumblebee, scratching the glass. Then some inspiration came to ask for Harinam initiation. Maybe that will give me some entrance. And I kept trying to read the books, Prapana Jivanamritam especially. I wanted to understand, but it was not very understandable at first. So I requested for initiation, and just a few days later, Madhusudan Maharaj was shouting my name, "Get ready, 15 minutes, your initiation." And I knew we need to prepare flowers, fruits, incense, cloth, donation. And he arranged for someone to go buy all the things from the market. I had to just get ready, put tilak on, and then gave initiation, Harinam initiation. Very quiet day before all the Gaur Purnima festivities began. It's one other devotee, gentleman from Delhi. He also took initiation that day. And before, I was wondering what is going to be my name. And I had a really strong attraction for Lalita Devi. She was on the altar of the temple I was living in before I went to India. The devotees I was staying with had Radha Krishna Mahaprabhu deities and like 30 gopis. But I'd sit right across from Lalita Devi and really identify with her and her spirit and her mood. I thought, maybe I'll get her name. And then Gurudev selecting my name, Lalita Devi Dasi. So my heart was like, of course. And it's very natural. Everything was just so perfect. So 6 months later, I received my second initiation before Gurudev went on his first world tour. And I stayed 6 months in Navadvipa with Madhusudan Maharaj and Sita Devi and just a very few devotees. And that's some early reflections there for you.
What do you consider to be Srila Gurudev's most prominent teachings?
Well, we all feel he was the perfect example, personification of Trinadapi Sunichena, being humble, tolerant, and giving honor to others without demanding honor for himself. He lived by that. Those were his primary teachings. They were above his head. He had a framed, embroidered sloka, Mahaprabhu's Shikshastikam, third verse, Trinada Pisini Chena Taroro Hi Sadhishina Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sarahari. And he kept that above his head. And he lived by that. He taught that and never wavered from those teachings of Mahaprabhu and always preached that to everyone. So that would be my answer for his prominent teachings. He felt that would be the way to find success in spiritual life, and to live without enemies, to find harmony, and to get Krishna consciousness in a substantial way.
Can you share one outstanding personal exchange you had with Srila Gurudev?
There were more than one, there were many, and I'll try to think of one that would be suitable. His deep vision penetrating into us was always really kind of overwhelming. He could look through us, through the mind, the ego, into the soul, and see our future, see our past, and overlooking all our disqualifications and all our sinfulness and shortcomings, and see our what we will go through in the future. He warned me once, you will have many obstacles, you'll have many tests that you'll have to face. I'm seeing many pictures of your future. Be careful. But he said also, there's someone guiding you. He said, I am just watching. You are under the care of higher power. And I said, well, who is that? And he said, he has four hands. Paramatma, he told me, Paramatma is a little activated position in my heart, and that he's watching. I remember that moment standing there, that conversation, and just feeling like I've just been x-rayed and my future has been told. He would always observe us, observe. He knew all the, in Vedic Jyotish, there's ways to study a person and their characteristics, their qualities, their karma, their who they are, what their character is, by the size of your hands, feet, features, hairlines, the different features he would study and comment sometimes. So that's what comes to my mind.
Can you say something about Srila Gurudev as a transcendental humorist?
Sure. Gurudev never lost his sense of humor, and in all cases, even when you would think, how could anyone make a joke at this moment? He's in being rushed to a hospital, having a heart attack. In a crisis situation, he never lost his sense of humor. And it was always humor mixed with Vaishnavata. He was firmly fixed in Vaishnav thought, conception, and anything that would come out from him was firmly situated in that plane, so he could play with words and thoughts and concepts and always keeping a sense of humor to everything in all cases. all circumstances. At least keeping a sense of humor about him. Not in every moment, but it was a predominant quality of his.
What do you feel is Srila Gurudev's unique contribution to our sampradaya and the world?
He is a great poet, writer, composer. He's given beautiful lectures in English and Bengali, compositions in Bengali, Sanskrit, written pranam mantras for so many acharyas like Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Keshava Maharaj, Madhava Maharaj, of course Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He also brought Krishna consciousness in the line of Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj to the whole world. He came out of India and preached Srila Sridhar Maharaj's conception and made it available to everybody and opened many ashrams and temples around the world of the Chaitanya Saraswati branches and missions. And brought so many under the shelter of the Chaitanya Saraswati Mat. And in a very unique way, in his loving, affectionate way, empowering everyone to serve whoever they are from all walks of life, young, old, whatever circumstance devotees were in, he found a way to engage everyone and make everyone comfortable and trusted everyone and gave strength and hope to young and old, to all walks of life, welcoming everyone, being personal with everyone. So in a very loving and affectionate way, we see how he preached. And we haven't really, I would say that is like the most notable, outstanding contribution. Come on in.
Finally, how can we continue to serve him in this period of separation?
I go on seeing him in the hearts of all his devotees and trying to remember his teachings and instructions, personal, and his instructions for everyone in that we find in his books and his lectures, through his correspondence and in his dealings with the devotees, and trying to always keep at heart his main expectations of us and living up to that, trying every day to fulfill that and to keep standing, keep following, not deviating, not wandering off, but staying on course in the way he wanted it. And I felt he shaped me into who he wanted me to be, and I need to maintain that shape. I need to keep that and preserve that and not revert into my old ways, my old self, but be who he wanted, and that has to grow and progress and blossom into our divine form and relationship. So it's a progressive thing that every day I'm trying to maintain and to live up to that keeps me going in his separation.
Can you say something about Srila Gurudev on these points? And first is, as the embodiment of love and affection.
Yes. Just like we feel he was the embodiment of humility, tolerance, and honor-giving, he was also the embodiment of love and affection. His Samadhi Mandir, that's the name that was chosen by Srila Acharya Maharaj and the other Acharyas. It's a suitable name for his samadhi because that's what he was about. With his love and affection, he conquered the world, conquered the hearts of the devotees and friends and followers and family members of the devotees, policemen, everybody who came in touch with him got a little bit of his love and affection. He had so much of it, it was never ending. And it spread all over the world to everybody and was always at the basis of his preaching, his dealings with the devotees, his relationship with everyone, everything. That's what he was about.
Is the Vigraha of Trinadapi Sunichana?
I think we already covered that.
As a faithful follower in the line of Sri Rupa.
Yes. Guru Vabhishta Sapurakam Guru Gane Rashesha Sambhustitam Chincha Chincha Samastavera Nipunam Sri Rupa Pantanagam. Srila Sridhar Maharaj wrote that about him. That certificate given directly by his Guru Maharaj that he's a faithful follower in the line of Rupa. Rupa Saraswati Sridhar. That's our line. From Rupa Goswami down the parampara to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and to his dearmost Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami. And Gurudev was faithful to that line under the guidance of his guru, a predominant follower and preacher and contributor in that line, contributing his life, his writings, his teachings, his preaching, even in his personal dealings, always that at the basis of his existence. He gave his life for that, his blood for that, suffered for that, from beginning to end. He pleased his Guru Maharaj, became the successor of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, must be a faithful follower of Srila Rupa Goswami if you're going to be Srila Sridhar Maharaj's successor. So he lived up to that quickly. Within 7 days, Srila Sridhar Maharaj knew, this is my successor. And Gurudev accepted that service hesitatingly, didn't want any big position or power, but after numerous attempts, he accepted what was finally the wills of his Guru Maharaj. Okay, next.
Can you say something about Srila Gurudev as a natural Paramahamsa?
That was Srila Bhakti Rakhak Sridhardev Goswami Maharaj's certificate of Srila Gurudev, that he was naturally a Paramahamsa. And just from his birth and his ways and his nature, he showed that in his character. And Gurudev would joke sometimes when he'd spill his prasadam all over his uttariya, he'd say, "Look, I'm a natural Paramahamsa. I can't just take prasadam without spilling anything on my, like, I just changed my clothes, fresh dress, and I've spilled my prasadam all over me every time," he said, "I have to do that." And he'd say, "That's because I'm a natural Paramahamsa." In that way, like giving some parallel, Avadhut nature, Paramahamsa nature, they're beyond the laws and rules. And that's a very high thing. But it was, Gurudev was so natural in his Krishna consciousness and so evolved and Paramahams means like a great swan. He could param means great, hamsa, swan. The swans can extract milk from water. They can take out the milk. So he could extract Krishna conception, divinity, transcendental teachings, philosophy, take it out of take the inner meaning and the substance away from the form, from the external, or just find the substance of the matter. He could do that in a natural way. So that was his natural disposition as a Paramahamsa, and we saw that in his character and his behavior.
And do you know anything about his supernatural power?
Yeah, he was very mystical, and like I mentioned before, he can see into the future, see into the hearts and the souls of everyone. And if he wanted to see something, he could see it. If he wanted to know something, he could know it. His eyes were very penetrating. You could see they're not ordinary eyes. He can see beyond flesh and the blood. He could see the spirit of the matter, the soul, Krishna's will. And he told us once, "I have eyes here and I have eyes in the back of my head also." Giving some indication. "I am beyond what you think I am. More than meets the eye, and don't underestimate me." He gave that indication. There's another question here about, I'll give some examples later.
So it's asked to mention in particular, can you please describe the events which took place in Switzerland at one time when Srila Gurudev was invited to some kind of Vedantic conference?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Prita Krishna Prabhu invited Srila Gurudev to Switzerland, and we were in Italy. We drove from Italy to Switzerland, to Geneva, with Srila Gurudev and a group of about 20 of us. And our one and only program was at the Ramakrishna Mission, where there was one Swami living there from India. I believe he was Bengali. And he was the only one there, and it was all of our devotees. And we showed up, and we had to do the cooking and everything. And the Swami was very proud, the Swami of the Ramakrishna Mission. He was sent there to represent the mission. He had like numerous PhDs and fluent in so many languages, a Sanskritian, and was very proud, boasting of all of his qualities. And Srila Gurudev was very humble with him, very tolerant, very respectful, as he would be all the time, in all time, place, and circumstances. But there he displayed some extraordinary qualities. After the man took up a lot of the time of our lecture telling about his own qualities and qualifications, Gurudev humbly listening, then it was time for Gurudev to speak. And Gurudev started out saying how he's a poor village boy and without any education. He spent his school days up in the mango trees and eating mangoes and throwing them, the pits, at people and being very naughty. Didn't make it through school and has no qualifications to show, nothing to show for. So he kept going on and on how simple-hearted, how lowly, unqualified he is. And then some slokas came to his mind. And he was quoting one after another, these big Sanskrit verses that, and descriptions of them. And it was just like a very happy flow that came from Gurudev. But this sannyasi was very shocked seeing how qualified Gurudev really is, despite what he was presenting. And the man kept like shrinking, and at the end became very humbled by Srila Gurudev and could see before him was a real Vaishnav with Vaishnav qualities, and he was very impressed and very happy. And defeated this man with his humility, his honor giving, and his humility, tolerance, and honor giving. The man was defeated.
Can you say something about the incident when Srila Gurudev said he could see Giriraj's arati in the future?
Yes. This was one mystical example I wanted to give. But one day, before a Govardhan temple was built, Giriraj had manifested in the just during the time when the land was became the Srila Sridhar Swami Seva Ashram in Govardhan. Our temple in Govardhan came to us. Gurudev had the land cleared and excavated, and they found a very, very large Govardhan Shila in the earth, buried. And it had indications of being worshipped in the past. And pandas were called to the scene to recognize it and to confirm, yes, it's Giriraj Govardhan, an authentic Shila, and seeing all the markings. Maybe 200 years it was buried and had been brought out and abhishek and worship and put on a little makeshift altar. And then a cement hut was built on top of it. And that was our first temple that manifested right in the beginning of our Govardhan temple days. So Gurudev first, like always, he starts with a guest house. He built guest house for the devotees so they can come and stay. That's always the first thing. He thinks first devotees, then temple. Then the guest house was built, and Gurudev started meditating on the temple and what type of design he wanted, what would be suitable, what was Krishna wanting. And he was very good in architecture. And so one day he was drawing the temple, and a few of us were sitting with him at that time. It was in Vrindavan, in our Sevakunj ashram. And he was drawing the mandir, and as he was drawing, he kind of left this external world and went into a meditation. And he began swaying back and forth. And to me, he looked like a charmed cobra, swaying back and forth, and like you couldn't distract him. We were just watching this. And then moments later, maybe 10 minutes later, he came back and started writing and really quickly drawing. And I was the brave one who asked, "What happened, Gurudev? What was that? You were gone somewhere." And mercifully he answered, "Yes, I was just attending the arati of Lord Giriraj in the future. I went into the future and I saw the temple and I was attending the arati and looking at the design in the temple." And so he said, "Before I forget, I'm writing it down now. What it really is in the future, I'm putting it down on paper and that'll be Giriraj temple. It's perfect." So that was one of a very mystical moment we shared with him. He mercifully allowed us to know about his adventure, divine adventure into the future.
Yeah. Can you say something about how Srila Gurudev's mood shifted over the years, and especially how his mood changed in the last few years of his pastimes?
I would say I didn't witness much change at all. He was very consistent from when I first met him till his final days. Of course, his body showed some signs of aging, and illness took its toll in, you know, an apparent way. But his mood was always simple, humble, respectful, tolerant, very personal with everyone, and very loving and informal. And that was what amazed me, that 1992, when I first came, the mot was relatively small. We had a few centers. We hadn't left left India yet. He hadn't gone on his first world tour yet. He was walking the dogs and visiting the cows and visiting the devotees and taking care of everyone, everything. And he maintained that same mood, same personal dealing, same affectionate, approachable way about him up until the very end. That same personal, like family mood that I saw from the very start was maintained in the midst of a very flourishing mission. The mission grew and grew and became something very large towards the end of his manifest pastimes. But that personal, approachable mood and dealings was not lost. That's very rare to do. As a mission turns big and grows, things could get lost, but it It never was. Nothing got lost. Only that same feeling of like intimacy and natural, affectionate, loving, personal dealings just became more available to hundreds and thousands of people and kind of multiplied, expanded, and we didn't see any end to that. So maybe towards the end he wasn't so approachable because of his health. We had to guard his doors in the end because there were a lot of chaotic things going on around him in the mission. We needed to protect him a little because he was unwell. But he'd hear who's at the door, bring them in. He didn't always approve of our gatekeeping and protecting him. But like that.
Is there something about his final loving interactions with the devotees and the special goodbye he had for everyone?
Well, I can say what happened to me. The past, he would sometimes ask, "Where are you going to stay in the future? I want to give you a room somewhere that'll be yours. You can always come and be there, be at home, it's yours. Which place do you like? Where do you want it? Which room? In which temple?" And I'd never answer him because in my heart I felt like the future's going to be black without him. Maybe I have no future after him, whether I can survive that test of his withdrawal from this material world, I don't know. I didn't like that question, so I never answered. But towards the end of his manifest pastimes here, he kept asking again and again and again and again. And even laying in bed, I'd walk by, "Lali, come here. Where are you going to stay? One room, you choose." Then one, like a few days before he left the world, he asked me again, and I finally answered. And I said, I thought I was being so smart and clever. I gave him like such a clever answer. And I said, "I want one room next to yours in Goloka, Vrindavan." Like that was my ticket to Goloka. I answered, "I want that room next to his, wherever he's staying in Goloka Vrindavan." And I was impressed with my answer, and he was very unimpressed. It was not what he wanted to hear, and said, "Oh, I have some attachment for this mission," indicating like maybe I do not. I'm not showing any signs of attachment to the mission. I don't want a room anywhere here in this world. And he just said, "I have some attachment to this mission." So that was one of our last conversations. He just wanted to secure a place for me. And it was his way, "I'm leaving now. I'm leaving this world. And you're going to be left behind. And I want you to have something." Maybe it's not anything so big, but for you, at least some shelter in this mission I've made. I want you to have a place. That was my experience. I'll stop with that.
Can you say anything about your impressions and experience of Srila Gurudev's disappearance?
Yes, I had some feeling the night before. This is it. This has got to be the last night. He was so unwell. He couldn't get out of bed. Everybody who was really important, like all the acharyas, were there. It was after Gaurapurnima was celebrated. No one left. All Avadhut Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, Ashram Maharaj, Janardhan Maharaj, Trivikram Maharaj, Acharya Maharaj. Everyone was a little bit alert that Gurudev's health is declining very quickly and visibly. And the night before, he wasn't able to get out of bed. And Avadhut Maharaj came and lifted Gurudev out of bed, put him in the chair. And I came and I sat at his legs and I was massaging and massaging and massaging. And he was joking. He couldn't breathe, he couldn't move, but he was joking. Transcendental humorous doesn't stop until the very, up until the very last moment. So, so many people were gathered. His daughter came to talk with him. And looking at photographs, and I decided, okay, I'll slip away unnoticed. And I was massaging his legs, but I just thought maybe he doesn't really remember I'm there and I'll go, it's late. So I tried to leave his presence, but my sari got caught on his heater on my way out, and it like ripped completely in half as I was walking out of the veranda. And I looked back and someone was sitting right in front of him. His daughter was right in front of him. But he kept going like this and like this, like, where am I going? And then his daughter turned back at me and she's like, where are you going? So I came back knowing like, wow, this must be it. And stay as long as I could. And I did. I stayed until as long as I could. And early next morning, 4 o'clock, I heard some panic motion. And I got up and the gate was locked. And I was shaking the gate, screaming, open the gate. And Sanatani Didi was there, the wife of Shrutashrava Prabhu, who became Vaishnav Maharaj. She was there serving Gurudev like a nurse. And we were shaking the gate, let us in, let us in. It was about 4 a.m. And someone came to the gate, opened it up and said, he's just leaving and left, maybe gone. We ran to the veranda and he was like, I saw his form there and not looking like someone had left their body, didn't look like a dead person, but like someone who went into meditation. Someone went into deep meditation and withdrew from this world, and that's what it looked like. And I touched his feet, they were still warm, and his nurse, Kishori Didi, told us that a few moments before he was struggling to breathe and she tried to give him some interventions. We had a breathing apparatus and medicine, and he threw his medicine on the floor, rejected his breathing apparatus, was done, and willingly, voluntarily left. Withdrew himself from this world, going into meditation. So all the sannyasis, the acharyas, now came and assembled at the scene. This was in Dum Dum Park, Calcutta. And little by little, everyone started coming, all the devotees from the temple, and neighbors, and even like people we've never seen before. Assembled on the veranda And we started to chant, sing, and called Acharya Maharaj. Acharya Maharaj came from Navadvip, and I've never heard anyone cry like Acharya Maharaj. It was this horrific sound that everyone just ran out to see what was going on. And it was Acharya Maharaj reaching Dum Dum Park from Navadvip, knowing Gurudev had left. And we arranged to take him, his holy form, by ambulance to Navadvip, where the samadhi function would happen. So it was very early morning, by procession, we brought him. In many cars, devotees followed. And the bathing was performed, and Vaishnavas came from all over Navadvip and Mayapur to help. And it was a very surreal experience. Very auspicious morning, like it's something out of a dream. And then it ended like a dream as well. The samadhi function took place. The Vaishnavas from all over Mayapur, Navadvip, helped with the salt and then planted a tulsi on top, as the tradition goes. After he had taken samadhi, put the tulsi, and right at that moment, it was a very hot sunny day, it started to rain, and the sun started to set. And it was just like something out of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole thing, from morning to night. It was the very next day that was very hard, very painful, waking up and thinking, what happened yesterday? And did it really happen? And how are we going to get up? How are we going to get through this? And like a big hole in the heart. And the one thing that saved, I think, all of us there was the togetherness of everyone. All the sannyasis were there, and every day we'd come together and have classes morning and evening, and processing everything, discussing everything, and glorifying Gurudev, and hearing from everyone and being there together made it all tolerable and manageable.